And let me suggest that we start our monthly call for September right now. And if you agree, I would like to ask Julia whether you can do the usual roll call.
Yes, sure. Good evening, everybody. Very happy to be here today, tonight. So I guess we do have with us, Wolf, first of all. We do have Desiree Milosevic, Adigo, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sorry, I'm reading from the Adobe, so if I apologize for the pronunciation. We do have Franz, Greta, Jordi, Manuel Schneider, Narin, Oksana with us, Olivier, Roberto, Sebastian, and myself. And we do have two apologies from Sandra and you. So.
Okay, and I just mentioned another apology, which is Annette Mühlberg.
Yes, exactly, and Annette.
Okay.
And Christopher in the agenda.
And exactly, and we do have Christopher, apologies.
Right. Okay, I have to get into the AC again because it broke down. Okay, here I am again. The next point on our agenda, on our tonight's agenda is, just a minute, connectivity here in this place is extremely bad. So the next point is a review of action items from our May call. I have checked this in the afternoon, and the only action item which was noted from our May call was the follow-up on the individual ALS, etc. certification, and we will come back to this point later among our briefings, etc. And this action item from May can be considered as being done. The next point is briefing on current ELEC consultation and initiatives. And this is, as usual for our monthly calls, Olivier's part, and I would like to hand over to Olivier.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. I just have to speak to you about a handful of current statements and documents that we're putting together. If you look at the agenda, you will note that there are four recently adopted ALAC statements and documents, and I thank the people who held the pen on these. The draft Next Generation GTLD Directory Services Model is about the expert working group that is basically looking at a replacement to the WHOIS system. The Community Priority Evaluation Guidelines update from ICANN and the was basically looking at the guidelines that consultant who is looking at the community priorities, who is going to be looking at the community priorities, and looked at the guidelines and provided some details as to other points that they might have missed in their document. The rights protection mechanism requirements was to do, as it says, with the trademarks. We mentioned, I think, on this one specifically, points to do with the internationalized domain names. As you know, we've got quite a vibrant IDN working group. And then the ALAC Rules of Procedure email guide was actually not a statement, but it was a document that is an adjunct document to the new ALAC Rules of Procedures, and that dealt specifically with the different email lists that we have. The current statements are being developed. There is a DNS Risk Management Framework report. The ALAC is currently commenting. We are a little bit late in filing this, and I must admit some of it is due to myself. I wanted to add a few more points to the statement, which is currently on the wiki. Primarily, from my experience in the DNS Security and Stability Analysis, the DSSA working group, which has stopped its work due to the work of the board DNS Risk Management Framework. So that this will come out in a few more days. If you have any points you'd like to make, you have another, I guess, maybe 24 hours to read through the report of the Westcliff, which are the consultants that are presenting this report, and make your views known. The statement on WCIT ICOMS, the World Conference on International Telecommunications, is still in my pocket somewhere. There's been some movement recently with various governments preparing for the follow-up to the WCIT. As you know, the ITU, International Telecommunications Union, has quite a few consultations going on one after the other. So there's been some input from governments into asking for the ITU to become more multi-stakeholder rather than just being a forum where governments primarily have a say and everyone else is just an observer. The consultation on TCTLD delegation and redelegation, user instructions and source of policy and procedures is actually, there are two statements. There's one for the CCTLD, there's one for the GTLD delegation and redelegation. The two statements are slightly different from each other. The one that is drafted by Cheryl Langdonor is looking at the particularities of how CCTLDs are redelegated, and there's obviously a political element to this. As far as the GTLDs are concerned, it's often more of a commercial thing. But the two currently are being drafted, and I hope that you will have time when Matt sends the note over to the lists for people to bring their comments in. I hope that people will have time to comment on that. And then finally, the confusingly similar GTLDs, Alan Greenberg has drafted a note on this, a statement, and the vote is going to start today. So the ALAC will vote on this. I think it's a pretty good statement. It effectively shows that there have been some objections due to string similarity and visual confusion. For some reason, the same cases involving involving different parties, so for example, .cam, C-A-M, and .com, C-O-M, there have been three objections. Two of them were treated by the same person. The third one was treated by another person from the International Chamber of Commerce took. And for some reason, one panelist decided that these were visually similar, and in one case, or in some another case, they were not visually similar. So it's a bit of a mess because you cannot have the same two strings that are on one side seeing as similar and on the other side not similar. And this statement effectively asks for the board to reconsider the process by which this has been currently looked at, and also look at other similar problems. For example, the plural of a term like hotel and hotels, and also the IDN equivalent, so internationalized domain name equivalent of a term that's in English or in another language. You'll see from the statement a few examples. That's pretty much it for the time being. I just remind you all that there is always a forecast of some forthcoming public comments, and that's found in the at-large policy development early engagement space, which you'll see a link to in the agenda. I'm open, of course, to questions on any of these statements.
Thanks, first of all, Olivier, for this quick usual update. Let me ask if any of the participants have any further questions or comments on the points presented by Olivier. I see no hand raised in Adobe Connect. Yes, I see now a hand raised by Desiree, and I take Desiree first and Olivier afterwards. Desiree, you have the floor.
Oh, thank you, Wolf. I'd like to thank Olivier for this crisp presentation of all the statements that At Large was working on. And just a point of clarification, before the last draft of the At Large is actually submitted as a public comment, do we have a PDP procedure for EU RALO? When can we see the last draft to get the comments in? Because I'm feeling that we are actually, you know, losing some traction and comments being split between the two mailing lists, one which is public and you RALO for comments.
This is a question directly directed to Olivier. Olivier, it's your turn again.
Yes, thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. Actually, the whenever there is a public comment that starts, in general, if it's GNSO-related, we ask our GNSO liaison, Alan Greenberg, and if it's CCNSO-related, we ask our CCNSO liaison, Cheryl Langdonor. If it's IDN-related, we ask the IDN working group, et cetera, et cetera. In general, in those working groups, someone steps forward to pick up the pen and draft a first statement. As soon as a first statement is drafted, Matt Ashtiani forwards this first statement. It's not even a statement, sorry, first draft. Forwards the link to the first draft to the ALAC announce mailing list, which announces all of the things that are taking place. And I hope that everyone in URALO is subscribed to the ALAC announce mailing list as well, because that's where everyone is informed about what current consultations there are. I'm only going through the list now due to the fact that it kind of brings a little bit more input. But, of course, there could be a public comment starting tomorrow that we're not aware of, and URALO might indeed miss it if you wait for the URALO monthly call to look at it. So if anyone is not on the ALAC announced mailing list, they're very welcome to subscribe, and I gather that staff will be providing in the chat box the link to the way to subscribe to this.
Okay, thanks, Olivier. I see that Desiree has raised her hand again.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Desiree speaking. I would appreciate, and I know how the public announce list works, but I was wondering whether there's any discussion going at large, whether there should be a certain timing or, cut-off day that we should generally be aware of for submitting comments. I know they all come in at different times, and the submission and the deadlines are different. I was just wondering if there's any discussion at large how to streamline this process.
And back to you, Olivier, again.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. I know that in the meantime, Sylvia Bevanko has put the link to the ALAC announce list, so you can just send an email to staff to be subscribed to it. I'm also going to send a link, and that's the link to the at-large policy development page. That's really our dashboard as to all of the things that are happening in the policy development side of things in at-large. And if you go on that page, you will see a big table, and there's a table of closed statements which show all of the statements we've done in the past, etc. There's a table of open statements, and on that table it says call for comments, which is the call at which we Matt sends the call for comments out onto the ELAC announce working list, ELAC announce list, and then there is the call for comments close, and that provides the time at which the ELAC consultation will be closing, and that usually is one day before we launch the vote, so that it lets the main pen holder to be able to take in all of the comments which were received on the wiki and work out a final statement. And then we have usually a five-day vote, and if you look, we roughly have vote open on the 17th, and then it closes on the 23rd. We try and have about five working days vote, and then the date of submission. So that's got all of the information on there as soon as we've decided it. If you see anything with TBC, for example, the drafting consultation on GTLD delegation and redelegation user instructions and source of policy and procedures, where Alan Greenberg is supposed to be providing a first draft, that's because a draft has not yet been posted. So if a draft isn't posted yet, of course, we can't have a start commenting period and a close commenting period. As soon as Alan will be putting this online, both Matt Ashtiani and myself are told about it, and we'll immediately devise a calendar of how long the ALAC has to comment on this. The ALAC and at large, of course, anybody is able to make place comments. The only thing is, of course, it's always quite a short time. We usually try and do 5, 7, 8, 10 days. But you have to remember, the initial comment period is only 21 days in length, which is the reason why we're always running and trying to catch up with everything that's going on. But that's where your dashboard is. And I hope that's helpful.
Thanks, Olivier, for this further elaborations. Let me ask the questions. Are there any further questions from Desiree or any other participant at this call? I see no more hand raised regarding agenda item 3.
Nope, my hand is still up.
It's still up. Okay. I thought you forget to put it down. So if it's still up, you have the floor again, of course.
Thank you very much, Wolf. It's Olivier speaking. I was just going to end my little contribution here by reminding everyone that you don't need to be an ALAC member to be a pen holder. And in fact, we are in need of people who enjoy writing and are able to draft a first draft of a statement and then carry it through. So you need to be part of the at-large community, but it's not just restricted to ALAC members. And in fact, we have had some instances of not ALAC, but at-large members picking up the pen and drafting and producing the first draft. That's all. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks again, Olivier. Any further questions or comments regarding this agenda item? Olivier's head is still up, but I think he, for the moment, has said enough. Let me suggest to continue with our tonight's agenda. What is agenda item 4? As you may recall, our last monthly call was already a month ago. It was just as the one before the Lisbon General Assembly in June, in line with the last European Dialogue on Internet Governance, EURODIC. And it was an exciting meeting at the time where most of you participated physically, and we had some very excellent pre-events as well. The event with Fadi and Nigel in Lisbon just before our General Assembly, We had some very intensive exchanges and discussions on spot afterwards, in line with votings in Lisbon, and we had to do our second voting round after the Lisbon GA, etc. And after that, due to the usual summer break, we didn't have, as usual, our monthly calls. We didn't do one in July and August, therefore this is the first after a long summer break. But there have been some happenings in the time between. As I mentioned at the beginning of this call, in the meantime, the long-standing issue with the application of the Uralu individual ALS was submitted to at large staff. There was the usual due diligence procedure. There was the regional advice from Uralu in favor of certifying this applicant, etc., and ALEC voted with large majority on this application, and as you have realized, finally this new ALS, this new member ALS, what is a home for our individual members, was certified for our RALO, and I would like to take the opportunity to thank Roberto again, who finally pushed the last works and tasks, etc., who is the first contact point for this new ALS together with Veronica. Thanks again, Roberto, for following this up and having brought this to a good end. And it was a long story, but I'm very satisfied that we finally could make it. I see a hand raised from Manuel. Manuel, please, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I was just wondering if I was missing something, because you were mentioning some activity going on. Of course, I know about the individual ALS, because that went through our mailing list. But I just wonder what means of communications, or what, how the other things that have happened have been done, because I haven't seen anything on the mailing list, and I was just wondering if I was missing something, or you remember the mail I sent to the mailing list, because I was surprised about this decision, which looked to me like a board decision that we support the IGF in Ukraine, which
Manuel, we will come back to this point under agenda item 5.
Okay.
Next event, among others, Ukrainian IGF, and I will explain the procedure again. So for the moment, let me suggest to continue with the update on the post-Lisbon General Assembly happenings. One of the important issues was the certification of this new member ALSs for the individuals. Then over the summertime, we had, as every year, the European Summer School on Internet Governance in Meissen, early August, where Olivier and I participated. And it was a new edition of this summer school with interesting participants. And it was a great success again. And I don't know whether perhaps Olivier would like to say some words on it, because he was one of the faculty members representing ALEC and Uralu at this event. And another event was the ICANN Studienkreis. We talked about this partly during the General Assembly, because we applied for fellowships for the ICANN Studienkreis early this year. Unfortunately, our request was not approved. The last Studienkreis meeting took place in Pisa, in Italy, and I didn't participate this year, but I have heard from Sandra that a number of ICANN representatives from the board and Fadi himself participated as well. So the Studienkreis meeting, which was said to have to be a third party meeting and therefore was not approved for any funding support. Fadi was there and he had some very important inputs, etc. And of course, as the name explains by itself, the ICANN Studienkreis turns around ICANN and internet governance. So it must have been a very interesting and exciting meeting. These two meetings usually happened during or over the summer break. Then it was relatively calm on the mailing list. In August to my end of July, we got a formal request. Now coming to point five. We got a formal request from the organizing committee from the Ukrainian IGF whether Uralo would support this Ukrainian IGF, this next Ukrainian IGF at the beginning of October. As in previous years, whenever somebody asked for support of a national European IGF, we usually confirmed our support if this doesn't imply any further, let's say, financial support, what we don't have, or if this doesn't imply any further request, any further capacities. So, and this was during the summer break approved, as we did in previous year. There was never a debate about whether we should support national IGFs in Europe or not. So we took it as a matter of fact. Once we get such a request, particularly from Eastern European countries, we usually supported them. Back to you, Manuel. I don't know whether your question is answered by this I see that it's not answered.
No, I mean, please don't. I don't want to make a big fuss about this now, and please take this as any criticism or anything. I just want to understand how the mechanisms work. You just taking the IGF as an example, I'm perfectly fine with the decision. Nothing to discuss about that. I just wonder, who is we? We are talking about we received a request. I'm on the board. I did not see any request. Who was taking the decision? I mean, I agree this is a decision that doesn't need to be discussed in the board or in any committee. If there is a clear rule, the person who receives the request will simply silently approve it and that's it. So that is fine. I just want to understand how this is going on, because I just have the feeling that there was something going on I simply missed. I heard the Studienkreis, for instance, I heard about it in Lisbon for my first time. It would have been good to see some invitations maybe on a mailing list. Where can I register? Where could I participate? I'm not sure if I would have had the time, but I simply have to acknowledge now that it has already happened and I didn't see it coming.
Okay.
It might be my fault. I mean, I just want to...
Manuel, let me explain it again. Studienkreis meeting since many years. We are trying to use the opportunity to get Uralo members to the ICANN Studienkreis meeting, but due to the lack of funding, they are always organized as similar to Eurodic in a different part of Europe. Last year, Studienkreis meeting was in Oslo. This year, it was in Italy, etc. Usually, volunteer members from Uralo cannot afford by their own means, if they do not have travel support, to go to ICANN Studienkreis meetings. So we announced it year by year. In case we would have got approval for travel support, it would have been broadly communicated on the Uralo list, inviting members to register for the next meeting. As we couldn't offer travel support, we didn't push it like in previous year. But we mentioned it at the General Assembly that it will happen again this year in early September in Pisa. Coming back to the Ukrainian IGF point, I just want to bring back to your memory. Over many years, Uralo has a board since the beginning, but the Uralo board over the last years until the last General Assembly in Lisbon was practically not functional. Maybe there are some others here, some other participants who have a different perception about the Uralo board before. So we have a new board since Lisbon. And in the previous years, when we got such a request, it was normally sent to the secretariat or to me, and it was more or less a leadership decision if we could perceive it's not a political issue, it's not an issue where we have to discuss about in detail because it's tricky, etc. We simply very formally approved it. And it wasn't an issue so far, and I couldn't imagine that it will suddenly become an issue. But I can promise now, since I see we have a board which with best intention to work and to be responsive on such things, next time this will be brought before the board, and finally the board has to decide about such requests. As I said, I didn't conceive it as in any way touchy. For me, it was a matter of course that we usually, I also do not really understand this sudden opposition on this. I have my own interpretation why we suddenly have this opposition about this issue, that it's brought up as a touchy issue. For me, it's a matter of fact that we should encourage this kind of cooperations, etc. Okay, I beg your pardon for not having asked the board, etc. And okay.
Just let me make clear, as I said before, I don't see there is an issue with the IGF, and I don't see that there are any problems, or there's no need to beg pardon for anything. As I said, I simply wanted to understand the mechanisms, and you have described them to me, so I am happy now. Concerning the Studienkreis, just a suggestion, no matter if it's funded or not, it never hurts to simply send or CC the invitation mails or whatever you send out to others to also CC them to the Euro list. Even if maybe people, as you said, were not able to come, it never hurts and it doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, okay.
And concerning, as I say, it's just a suggestion. It's not a criticism or anything. It just was the thing that raised the question. And concerning the board, we have this board mailing list. I think I reactivated it, or at least subscribed to it. There is a Euro board.
It was updated.
And it was updated, exactly, thank you. And yes, I agree, the board is dysfunctional. I think it still is. The point is, if we don't have anything to work on, if you don't have any information, it will keep as is. The point is, the board is not dysfunctional by itself. If nobody knows what to do, nobody does anything. Hence, it is dysfunctional by definition.
Right.
I'm stopping now. I don't want to go too much into this thing. Maybe this is something we have to discuss at the next board meeting, or maybe in person, which would be even better then.
As you see from our today's agenda, under agenda item 8, we say we will come back to this issue, Euralo board and meeting rhythms, etc. There will be a doodle sent out, or there was a doodle already sent out for a board call, so we will follow up on this. And I hope there will be other outcomes in the near future, also from the board side, but over many years, as a matter of fact, whenever there was an initiative in this direction, we had a board mailing list before, and there was never ever any response on the board mailing list. So I hope this will be different in the future. I'm looking forward to any improvement, etc. But over many years, it didn't work. And we communicated over years regularly. Every European event over every year, we announced Eichen Studienkreis via the mailing list. This year, as we had for the third time, no approval of our funding requests. So it was announced in Lisbon, and if anybody would have asked about it, could have got any details on the Eichen Studienkreis. So, sorry again, but we will improve it in the near future. I see, I've seen before Oksana's hand raised. Oksana made a lot of comments here on the in the chat room, and there was also a hand raised by Heidi.
I see Oksana is asking to read my question. I don't know if she's able to speak, or should I read it for you, or do you wish to read that, Wolf?
Fun?
In the chat? I don't know. Oksana has written in the chat, please read my question. What does it mean?
I see two dozens of questions, etc., from her side, and let me try to figure out whether there was any concrete question. Please, Oksana, you can raise your question. You have the floor.
May I?
Yeah.
I just copied. I think the question was, what does it mean, Euralo as a partner of IGF Ukraine, and how it was decided? I think the how it was decided you already explained. At least it's clear to me.
Yeah. Just once more to say it again. In previous year, it was always from the first Ukrainian IGF to my memory. We were asked, besides the Council of Europe, besides other partners, whether we support the Ukrainian IGF. We were even invited. Olivier participated several times at the Ukrainian IGF. Sebastian participated at the Ukrainian IGF. I participated once 2 years ago in the Ukrainian IGF representing Euralo. So there was already a kind of a tradition that we supported this event. So it's nothing new. there is a tradition of support. And we were asked by the organizing committee in Kiev this year again whether we can support the next upcoming Ukrainian IGF by using the Uralo logo. And we said, yes, I see no reason why we shouldn't express our support to such an initiative we know already with our logo. And this is our support and there is nothing else. So I do not suddenly see that after years it becomes a political issue, and it was a matter it was clear over several years. And suddenly it becomes an issue. This is something I have my personal interpretation about it, but I honestly do not understand. Any more questions and comments regarding this agenda item?
Wolf, just briefly, Manuel here. I just want to say it again. I don't see opposition or an issue here. It raised a few questions. They have been answered. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure Oksana will be fine as well. So, yeah, don't feel too pushed about it. I really don't see that you need to beg your pardon or talk about opposition here. I don't see that.
And again, Manuel, this arrived early end of July. This is usually a summer break and usually tote Hose on the Uralo list. And therefore, I forgot to buzz the list, etc. As I said, we were used it in to it in previous year. It was never a matter of discussion, etc. So we just did it, confirmed it, sending the logo, and it was clear. And I thought, okay, like in previous year, anybody will be happy. And then we got this comment, etc. So, but it's now Roberto who has raised his hand. Roberto, you have the floor, please.
Yes, Wolf, I was really talking about the student crisis, which was the previous point. If you have finished with the discussion on the Ukrainian IGF, I was just wondering whether it's useful if I say a couple of words of what happened at the student crisis,
just
so that everybody is aware.
Did you participate?
So, yes, I did.
Okay, please, you have
and,
to go, tell us.
Just very briefly, I think that I can then maybe send a written note in the future. But just very briefly, so the student crisis was very interesting this year, especially for the participation of Fadi. Fadi was supposed to come on the for the first day, but then he attended also a large part of the second day. In the first day was opened by a presentation by different people from government and private institution about the status of the internet in Italy and what were the major issues and the status of the Italian registries.it. The second subject was in principle was related generally to the internet diplomacy and internet governance, but in fact it ended up in focusing a lot on the security and the privacy issue, also related to the case of the Snowden finding about eavesdropping from the U.S. government. So that was the large part of the discussion on the internet governance. Then the following day, the first session lasted for the whole morning was about the introduction of the new GTLDs. What were the opportunities? What were the problems? The different points of views. There were registries, registrars. Also, I said a couple of words talking from the user perspective. And it was a really interesting discussion, and there were also some questions and answers directly to Fadi, who attended this part as well. And then there was a presentation by David Maher. Was a presentation about some legal issues. I think that probably the text of the presentation might be available, and if so, I will send it around. And then the last part was looking at the future, but in fact the focus of this, also because we had a couple of last-minute apologies from some speakers, it mainly focused about the ATRT2 review team and how are we going forward with ATRT. That was basically it. As I said, I can write a few notes in the following days and send it around with a little bit more information. And I think that Christopher Wilkinson also attended the Studienkreis. I don't know if there's something relevant that I've missed.
Okay, thanks a lot, Roberto, for this briefing about PISA and the last Eichenstudienkreis meeting, and any further information on this from your side, from you, Roberto, or Christopher, or anybody else who has participated is, of course, highly welcome via the mailing list. I see Olivier's hand raised.
Thank you very much, Rolf. It's Olivier speaking. Just Roberto, you mentioned the ATRT2. Was any member of the ATRT2 present?
Yes, Avri Doria, for instance.
Ah, excellent. Ah, fantastic. I was not aware. That's why I was asking. Okay, thank you. Ah, that's great.
Okay, any further questions regarding agenda item 4A, B, and 5. Any further comments from your side? I highly appreciate if we could have further infos from Roberto and Christopher and anybody who participated there. Sandra could also, she is also organizing the Studienkreis meeting. Unfortunately, she is not at the call tonight, so she cannot give another short briefing from her side, etc., but we will continue to share information about this. Let me suggest, due to time constraints, to continue with agenda item 6, what is about the Atlas II survey group. We had, after the last Durban ICANN meeting, there have been intensive discussions in Durban about the planning, the timing, etc., for the organizing process to the Atlas II, which is confirmed now for next June in London. And we sent before the Durban meeting a draft of a questionnaire to the group already. There have been one comment from Naralo on the first draft of a questionnaire, and we discussed it, and then we asked Dharma Daily from Naralo to send us, to submit a revised version, what she did, what she did in early August, and this revised draft is now under consultation in the survey group. There is also a discussion to combine two intended surveys of the community, and I think there will be a sub-working group call this week or very soon, where we will discuss the revised version to finally approve it, etc., to keep the timeline of the Atlas II preparation, etc., and whether or how we could combine the two surveys. Sylvia has posted the link to the Atlas II survey wiki page, etc. For any further details, please go to this wiki page, etc., and if you have any further questions on this, you can directly ask me, or you can post the question on the mailing list, etc. I would like to encourage some more Uralo members, if you are interested in the follow-up of this, please subscribe to the respective group lists. We have the organizing team, we have a PR team, etc. There are several subgroups, and all Uralo members are kindly invited to subscribe for any list they would like to contribute to. Any further questions regarding point 6, the Atlas II survey group, regarding agenda item 7 on the update on the ICANN Academy? This was scheduled for being Sandra's part, who is chairing this the ICANN Academy working group. Sandra was in Berlin the last 2 days with me, because on Monday and today we had the first planning meeting for the next Eurodic, which will be organized middle of June in Berlin next year. So we had with the host team a very productive open planning meeting the last 2 days, and Sandra is now on, in the train back to Leipzig, etc., and she has to submit her apologies for not participating tonight. But she briefly told me the pilot for the ICANN Academy is on its best way now. The first pilot will now be organized for the next ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires, etc. And there was a lot of community feedback on the working group mailing list, etc., and she can give us a more detailed update on this pilot project at our next call in October. Yes, and I see Olivier has raised his hand. Olivier, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, both. It's Olivier speaking. I was just going to say two words to give you a quick update. At the moment, the committee is putting together a list of the potential attendees of this pilot program, and so there will be people from all of the supporting organizations and advisory committees that have been invited now. And each supporting organization has been asked to provide a list of people they would like to send, in addition to all of the people that were selected by the nominating committee this year.
Right.
That said, some people have actually said they're not interested in attending, maybe because they already know about it, or maybe because they don't know about it. But that's the stage that we're after, and we're also selecting at the moment the people who will be part of the committee of educators. I don't know how you call them.
Trainers.
The faculty. There you go.
Yeah.
So that's where it's at the moment. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot for these first details, Olivier. As far as I've seen, Jordi will be participating as a NOMCOM, recently NOMCOM selected as a student, and you will participate as a trainer or as a faculty member from Uralo. This is right, okay?
It's Olivier speaking. It's still in discussion, but I'm likely to be indeed, yes, be there. I think that I will probably be as a student, but as an experienced student, in other words, you know, being able to share my knowledge with the other people that will be there.
Okay, what I think is a great thing, just to shortly recall, this ICANN Academy is a project which was originally developed, came from Uralo. The first draft proposal was submitted 2 years ago in August, end of August, and it matured via many discussions at ELEC, etc. Afterwards, it was opened to other constituencies since more than a year by now. It's an inter-constituency project, and it has matured over the time, etc., and I'm very satisfied that the pilot will happen just before the ICANN meeting in Buenos Aires, and that still some Uralo members are involved at a very prominent level. Sandra chairing the working group, and Olivier being closely involved, and Jordi as well. Any further question? I see, Olivier, you still have raised your hand. You want to add something else?
Yes, please, Wolf. It's Olivier again speaking. I was just going to add that in addition to the academy taking place, which is effectively the introduction for new people, there's also the leadership skills, facilitation skills program that ICANN staff have put together that is going to be piggybacked or back-to-back with the leadership program. So it's all an integrated program which will last several days.
Okay. Thanks again. Any further questions and comments from your side? We reached the end of the hour for our monthly call, and we still have an agenda item 8. It's how to further proceed with Uralo board and meeting rhythm. Short recall, again, there was a very good initiative and a very good outcome at the last General Assembly when a number of new board members came in, were selected, were elected, etc., who said we want to be more active, etc., on the board to assist the secretariat and the chair, etc., which is highly welcome, highly appreciated, etc. And there was a suggestion on the table in Lisbon to have monthly calls among board members. We now try to take up this initiative again. We will organize a next board call, and then we have to decide whether we will have a monthly meeting prior to the monthly Uralo call, whether a monthly meeting is too ambitious, etc., but we leave this up to the board members. they must discuss, they must decide, etc. So it's all in the hand of the board members, and we will closely follow up on this in the next weeks. Any comments, any questions from your side? This is the next. Sylvia was just saying the doodle was sent for the Uralo board. It will likely be on the 8th or 9th October. Once it's completed, we will confirm the date, etc., and we will have the first board call, and then we will discuss further details and procedures, etc., with the board members. Further questions, comments? I see approval from Manuel. So this is work in progress, and as mentioned, I'm happy about this new initiative that we will finally, after years, I hope we will have an active board where we can discuss current issues, etc., and make broader-based decisions. If there are no further questions, is there anything among any other business? Our last agenda point for tonight's call. Yes, Jordi has raised his hand. Jordi, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Wolf. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. No, just it's going to be very short because we don't have time, but just to mention that I attended already. Well, not, I've already joined the CCNSO Council and all that, and one of the points that was raised in my email week was that they are really disappointed on how the staff treated their feedback to the SOP comments and all that. So they are going to look for support from other structures, trying to go back to ICANN and say, okay, maybe we need to work this a little bit better, because they are not satisfied at all. So to make it short, I will send an email to you as president of the board and the board of the council, whatever, or Uralo, so we can discuss how to move that forward and which kind of support can we provide, if any. So that's all.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jordi. I do not know for the moment anything about the background, but I think it's a good idea to share it on the mailing list. It could be one of the first discussion items for the first and next board meeting, etc. I think this is a perfect example when something like this comes up to discuss it and to make a decision on the board level first, etc., on issues like this.
Okay, I will do so. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jordi. Any further questions or comments from your side? If this is not the case, let me thank you all for your participation at this call. I'm really impressed and pleased that we had around 15 participants at this monthly call, which is very encouraging, etc. I think one of the key projects for the near future, for the next month, is of course the preparation process for Atlas II in London, which will also be in line with our next face-to-face General Assembly of Uralo in London, etc. And there is a lot of work to be done, etc. And I would like to have as many of you involved in this next project as possible, etc. And thanks for your participation, and I wish all of you an excellent evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Wolf.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody. Thanks. Bye-bye.